that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins according to the name of the Lord. And it came to pass, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, unto the Gentiles. When he got to the word Gentiles, the picture changed. And they gave him audience unto this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yes. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free-born. That's to say, he was in a city which was recognized as a province of Rome. Though it wasn't in, it was in the Roman Empire, but far, far from Rome. But there were some cities, like Philippi, recognized as a province. So he said, I was free-born. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all the council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before. Now shall we seek God's blessing again on his word. Blessed God, we thank thee for this wonderful Bible we have in our hands. We thank thee this is thine unchangeable word, forever settled in heaven. And we thank thee it's the entrance of thy word which giveth light. We can preach and preach, but we cannot win one soul to Christ ourselves. It can only be done through the word of God, the entrance of which giveth light. So we pray that this morning thou take the word of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit apply that word to our hearts, so that some work might be done in each heart this morning for thy glory. We thank thee for the Apostle Paul, for his wonderful testimony, and we thank thee for this story told over again of how thou didst save him. We pray, Lord, thou bless it to our hearts this morning, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as I said just now, we have been following the growing of the church, the expansion of the church from the day of Pentecost down over these years, over 20 years now, and how God chose Saul of Tarsus, this wicked man, although a great religious leader, and one of the Sanhedrin, and one of the leaders of the Jewish people, and who thought his job on earth was to stamp out the church of God. He says so. He says, Verily I thought that my business was to stamp out the name of Jesus I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And Saul's business was to stamp out the name of the Lord Jesus. He was a rabid Jew, hating this impostor, as they thought the Lord Jesus was, the one whom they'd crucified, put to death, and tried to get rid of. And here were disciples growing all over the place, churches being formed, and the name of Jesus being known more and more throughout the world. And Paul comes back after his third missionary journey. He comes back to Jerusalem, as we have been seeing in our previous studies. And although he was warned by many, and they said the Holy Spirit told them to warn him, they said, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. But he said, I'm going. And here's a marvelous thing. I was thinking about this early this morning. You see, we send missionaries out. We form missionary societies. I have said over and over again in studying these studies in the Acts of the Apostles, that we're considering these studies as God's pattern for his church in this age. Now see how he did it, see how they did it, and Holy Spirit did it in those days, and how we do it. Paul went out. He didn't go around and collect a lot of money for his sustenance and maintenance. He didn't go out for some missionary society. God chose Paul and Barnabas and sent them out. And Paul often had to work for his living. He said so, and he boasted about it. He says, I'm proud that my own hands supply my need. He had to do that on many occasions. Sometimes a missionary can do that. Sometimes he's so engaged in the Lord's work and out on the pioneering work, and he can't do that. But Paul, whenever he could, he did that. So he was chargeable to no man. But the thing I was thinking about very much this morning was this. Our missionaries come back, and there's always a question of more, more, more money. You know what Paul did when he came back? He brought a lot of money back with him. He went out without any. And when he came back with large gifts for the church at Jerusalem, for the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's the very reverse of what we're doing today. Begging letters. Our waste paper baskets are full of all these letters that come in begging, begging, begging for money. Paul, the missionary, went out and he brought the money back. He didn't go to ask for it. How we've altered God's plan and God's pattern because we don't do it by faith in him and don't do it the way and according to the pattern of the New Testament. So Paul came back and he was determined to go to Jerusalem because he had a large gift. He gathered up from the Gentile Christians in these provinces where he'd been, and he's going to give this gift because of the great need at Jerusalem. And they said, don't go. He said, I'm going. He said, you want to break my heart? Weep. What meaning? To weep and break my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And he hadn't been there many days, and he was arrested. And they would have torn him to pieces and put him to death. But the Roman centurion, the Roman captain heard of it and sent a couple of centurions down and rescued him from the people. And they took him into the castle and bound him in chains. You think of this. Bound him in chains. And he was all bleeding and torn from the way the Jews had treated him. And then he asked if he could address his own people. And standing on the steps of the castle, quite near to the temple, he made this speech, which I have read this morning. This is the first time we have in writing how the Apostle Paul tells of his conversion. We read of his conversion in the 9th chapter. And now Paul goes over it. It's a good thing to tell how the Lord saved. I like a testimony meeting. I like to hear men tell how God saved. And I like to hear a man say definitely how God saved. So many people don't, I don't know, they say they're saved, but you ask them, how do you know you're saved? I don't know. When I was working in Birmingham, the last job I had, before I came here, we had a man who was the foreman of our welding department. He's a nice fellow, but a drinking, the man living in sin, but I liked him. And one day we were doing some estimating on a big job, big welding job, and I called him up to my office. I said, I want to talk to you about this job. And his face was all scratched. And I said, what's the matter? Oh, he said, don't talk about it. He said, that's what my wife did to me. He said, she got drunk and I was drunk. This is how I landed up. He's all scratched up. I said, Joe, let me tell you something. I said, I pray for you every day. He said, you pray for me? I said, yes. He said, Mr. Willie, have you ever heard me use a swear word? I have learned when I talk to a man about his sins or a man about telling a man how to be saved, the first thing you do is tell you how good he is, you know. And what the Bible teaches, we got to admit how bad we are. The Lord came to save sinners. And before you can be saved, you've got to admit your sin. And you've got to come to the Lord and confess your sin. And he said, have you ever heard me swear? I said, Joe, I've never heard you swear. He said, I'm the most blasphemous man in the whole of this shop. And we were employing several thousand people there. He said, I use terrible language. I live in sin. And out of my drawer, my desk, I took a little John's Gospel, these Moody John's Gospels, which we have here, and I gave it to him, opened it and showed him, told him how God saved me when I was a boy, and we did our job of work. And a few days later, we were going to have a Christian Businessmen's Committee dinner, and I invited Joe. I said, Joe, would you like to bring your wife and be my guest at a Christian Businessmen's Committee dinner next Saturday? I'll come. He came. And that night, Joe accepted Christ as his Savior. And there was a great change. I went down, I had some men working on a late shift, and I went down to work one evening rather late, and a man met me and he said, I'm going to shake hands and thank you. I said, what for? He said, well, the mighty change in our world shop. I said, what's happened? He said, huh? He said, you did it. I said, I didn't do anything. He said, no, he's another man, he said. There's no swearing in that shop. He said, it's a different atmosphere. What have you done? Well, I said, God saved me. He said. And one day I was, a little later, I was walking down there, and a man came to me and he said, shake hands. I said, what do you shake hands with? What's the matter? He said, man, you changed the shop. He said, this was the most ungodly place to live in, but he said, it's all changed. There's a change in Joe's life, and he was the boss down there, and he said, everything's changed. I said, well, how about you? Are you a Christian? I said, of course I'm a Christian. I said, wait a minute, I'm an elder in the Presbyterian Church. I said, I didn't ask that. I said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I think I'm a Christian. Well, I said, let me ask you a very simple question. I want to ask you two questions. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Then I want to ask you, how do you know you're saved? So he said, am I saved? I don't quite know what you mean. So I gave him John's Gospel, and he talked with him, and one day he came to me and he said, my wife and I have got it. He said, I know what you mean by being saved now. I've read that John's Gospel. He said, my wife and I have both got it. He said, we're saved. I said, well, now then tell me how you know you're saved. He said, I must think about that one. So 2 days later, I was walking through the world shop. He said to me, he said, see that marking off table over there? I said, yeah. He said, half an hour ago, a man left his a very precious instrument on that table. He forgot it, and he said it would have been stolen. But I went over and rescued it and took it to him. Now, doesn't that prove I'm a Christian? I said, no, that doesn't prove you're a Christian. I said, salvation is not by works. Now, Christians should do things like that, but that doesn't make a Christian. Then another day I was down there, he said, see that Coca-Cola machine? He said, somebody put in a quarter and he didn't take out the change. He said, I ran after him with the change. Now, doesn't that prove I'm a Christian? I said, no. Well, you know, I kept on to him. How you know? I'm getting to this because I say I love to hear a man. Paul gave a clear testimony. And I love to hear a man give a testimony and tell how God saved him. And so, I kept on talking to this man. And he went away for 2 weeks vacation down here. He came down to, from Birmingham down to, Daytona Beach way somewhere. He said, I was sitting on the pier there fishing. My wife said, what in the world are you thinking about? What's on your mind? I'm thinking about that man Willie. He said, ask me how I know I'm saved. That's what I'm thinking about then. Finally, you know, I gave him safety, certainty, enjoyment. I love that little book. There. And he got it. He knew he was saved. He knew he was saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Christ as saved. Then he said to me one day, he said, what thing happened yesterday? He said, I've been talking to the pastor of our church and I've been telling him what you tell me. And he said, yesterday morning, that pastor leaned over the desk and he said, people, I want to ask you two questions. Are you saved? And how do you know you're saved? And he said, that pastor gave us a sermon yesterday on your text. Are you saved and how do you know you? Now this is the thing. These are questions you and I have got to ask ourselves, every one of us this morning. Am I saved? The Apostle Paul's life was changed right about. He was going about to destroy the church. He hated the name of the Lord Jesus. And he tells us here that when the Lord appeared to him, he called him Lord. Now you don't call Lord just you only say Lord to the one you intend to serve. And he fell at the Lord's feet and owned the Lord as his master straight away, and his life was changed. And Paul tells the story of his conversion. He tells it twice more later on, we see, but he tells the story of his conversion. He asks you, every one of us here this morning, can you tell the story of how you're saved?
I can go back to the city of
bombs in the war, but that's still there. I could take you to the very spot and say, you know, and you see, he was persecuting the church, but the Lord associated himself so closely with the church, he said, it's me you're persecuting when you persecute the church. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice. This speaks. Now this can happen, you see. You can sit in a meeting like this, and God can speak to you, and you hear the voice of God speaking, and the word of God, some verse of scripture comes to you, and God can save you, and the person sitting by your side knows nothing about it. The night I was saved, my brother was sitting by my side, he wasn't saved 2 years after that, he didn't know anything about it. The preacher who preached that night, he didn't know anything about it. He found out later on, when I told my mother I was saved on Sunday, then she went back and told the brethren that my father did, that I was saved Sunday night. Then the man who preached heard that somebody got saved that night. He didn't know. But God does it. You see, Paul says, I heard the voice. They didn't hear it. They didn't. God, he speaks to one here and one there. I heard the voice. And I said, what shall I do? What should I do, Lord? Wonderful question. That's what the Philippian jailer said. What should I do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus. He hadn't got to Damascus, he's on the way. Go into Damascus, and there shall it be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee. And God had arranged for Ananias to come over and tell Saul of Tarsus. And this Ananias, And when he went in, he said, I could not see, he was blinded, for the glory of the light, I was led by the hand of them that were with me, and I came into Damascus, and then Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me. Paul is, this is what in the Greek they call an apologia. He's making a defense. And he's telling these Jews that what he's done is not anything contrary to the teachings of the law. He's not done something contrary to the word of God. He says, this Ananias, this man that came and told me what to do, he said he was a devout man according to the law. He had a good report of all the Jews. And yet it was these Jews that were trying to put Paul to death, and he's trying to prove to them, what I'm doing isn't something contrary to the book of God, not contrary to the Jewish scriptures at all. But their minds were so blinded, and they were so hard against anything to do with Jesus of Nazareth, that they wanted to put him to death. And he came unto me and stood and said, Brother Saul, you think of it. Saul of Tarsus went down there to take Ananias amongst the others and bring him bound to Jerusalem to be put to death. And he's called him Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Brother Saul, he said, because the Lord had told him. He told him what to do. He said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Same hour I looked upon him. You got his sight back. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, and should be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. What a wonderful thing. Now, we don't preach election. As we do preach election, but I mean, as if man had no choice at all. But it is nice to sometimes see how God has made a choice. How God has chosen man before he even knew it. See, Saul of Tarsus didn't know it, but he said, the God of our fathers, hath chosen thee. He had chosen Saul of Tarsus. I think that's what he meant when he said it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks of the goad. God has been speaking to Saul, I believe, and pricking at his heart, and now it comes to the climax, and God reveals, the Lord reveals himself, it's hard for thee to strive and kick against these things that I'm doing to you. God of our fathers has chosen that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one. You should hear the voice of his mouth. Three things. To know his will, and to see the Lord Jesus, and to hear his voice. Now all those things happened to Saul. He learned God's will. Ananias was told to tell him what he had to do. He had to go and be a witness in the whole world. The Lord Jesus, as we've been seeing in our studies, his command was to begin at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the facts are that the disciples stayed at Jerusalem. They didn't go to the uttermost part. And God chose another man to go. He chose Saul of Tarsus and sent him out. And I believe Saul's object was to go even further, because he says in the 15th chapter of Romans, when I go to Spain, he was going to get right to the very limits of the Roman Empire. Perhaps if he hadn't gone back to Jerusalem, he might have done that, I don't know. But the rest of his life had to be spent in prison. We're talking now about Paul the prisoner. This is his first defense as a prisoner. And thou shalt hear his voice. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, I tell you, sir. Now this is the great question. This is how we can bring a meeting to a close. Now, why tarry? If God is speaking to your heart this morning, if you're not saved, if you've not yet accepted Christ as your Savior, I'll say what I know. Now, why tarry? What are you waiting? Arise. Arise. how many people there are who've been in these great big campaigns. I've got a great friend, and he told me he was asked to go and hear, I think it was Billy Graham one night. No, probably it was Billy Graham. I think it was probably, no, some big CBMC meeting. And he went there to make fun, you know. But the gospel was preaching, so I could not sit on my seat. I got up and come to the front. I couldn't help it. And now arise, he said. So I couldn't help it. The Holy Spirit got hold of me. And that night he got saved. He's a wonderful Christian. And now arise. Why tarriest thou? Arise. Be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how Saul, that awful persecutor of the church, that's how he got saved. That's how he met the Lord Jesus. And he obeyed the Lord. Now, if the Lord is speaking to anyone here this morning, the thing is to do this, arise. To fall in with what God is talking about. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To be saved. And make him your Lord and Master. And to know his will. He has a will and a purpose and a plan for every one of us here. But we've got to know it. And we know it. He'll reveal it. He reveals it through this book. We have to read this book day by day, and God tells us what he wants us to do. But it's all in the book. Not by our knowledge, our education, or anything else, but what's in this book. So Saul became a Christian. And his name was changed when he went on his first missionary journey from Saul to Paul. And he became Paul the Great Apostle. And then he tells about, he stayed away some time down there in Damascus, and he went back to Jerusalem. He says, and of course he thought they surely received him, but he was so surprised when he got there, they didn't want him. Came to pass, when I was come again to Jerusalem, he's coming back now with a wonderful revelation to tell the elders that, why, Jesus of Nazareth, that we were persecuting, he is the Son of God. I've had the revelation, I know it. But they didn't want that. He said, when I got back to Jerusalem, the Lord appeared to me whilst I prayed, and I was in a trance in the temple. He saw, and I saw him saying to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thee. How the Lord presses Saul to do things. Arise and be baptized. Make haste and go. That's how Paul, God dealt with Saul. Not wait and dilly-dally, but do what I tell. Make haste, he said. Get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning thee. And he said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death. And he said, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, once we've been talking like this, I want you to think a moment. He was talking to a great mob of Jewish people, thousands. It says that they, when he was arrested there, it says there was huge crowds, multitudes of them. They'd come in to put him to death, and they were angry and mad with him, a real riot. And when he spoke in the Hebrew tongue, they quieted down, and they listened to his death. But when he got to that word Gentile, depart, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave audience unto him to this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with this fellow. It's not fit that he should be allowed to live. You see, they hated him. And the very idea that he could go and preach their wonderful things, the things of God to the Gentiles. And of course, why they arrested him, one of the reasons was because they said he took a Gentile into the temple, which he did not do, but that's one of the reasons why they just arrested him. When they got to the Gentiles, that's why they didn't want to do, for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. So that was God's infinite plan. And they cried out and cast their clothes, and the poor captain didn't know what to do. The riot was going on, they were all mad, raving, and he got out of Paul, brought him back up the steps, and he said, well, I'll find out. We'll have the Roman way of finding out. We'll scourge him. And of course, they beat them cruelly, they scourged them, then by torturing like that, they hope they'd tell the truth and say what really was happening. And Paul, for once, made use of his Roman citizenship.
He said, it is lawful for you to scourge a Roman, not condemn. And then the centurion ran into the captain and said, be careful now. The captain, he had charge of 1,000 men. The centurion had charge of 100 men. So the captain was the in charge of this thing here, this castle, and he said, be careful, he's a Roman. He was very surprised to find that Saul was a Roman. He said, it cost me a lot of money to become a Roman. Paul said, I was born a Roman. I was born free. So they let him go from being scourged that day. Set him free. That's, they took away his bands. He wasn't free. He was a prisoner now for the rest of the end of the story of the Acts of the Apostles. 28 chapters, he's prisoner all the time. But on the morrow, he's going to find out more about them. And on the morrow, of course, he met all the elders in the council, and then we'll hear the story over again of how he defended himself before the elders. It was before the, he calls them men, brethren, and fathers, the people to whom he spoke in that, on the steps of the castle. But when he spoke in the next chapter, he's speaking to the Sanhedrin, to all the elders of the Jews there as Jews. So we find the Apostle Paul now a prisoner. His work as a church builder in that sense is ended. He's still going on building because he wrote all those wonderful epistles in prison. And how, what a big job he's had in building the church, still those epistles, of course. But here he is, a prisoner, and that's what he'll be to the end of our studies in the Acts of the Apostles. But let's learn the lesson today then. God has something for you and for me to do. God has a plan. God has a purpose. We may be going our own way. We may have never taken any heed to the claims of the Lord Jesus at all. We may have been churchgoers, members of our church, very religious, but never yet been saved. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And you and I have to make a decision. We come to that spot where we've got to say, all right. Make haste. Do something. We can accept the Lord Jesus. Perhaps he has something for you to do and you haven't yet bowed to him. And you're willing to go his way. You can make that decision. To do his will. To do. So we thank you, God our Father. We thank you for this wonderful story. And the beloved Apostle Paul. We thank you for what thou didst do in his life when he yielded that life. Once so stubborn and so rebellious to thee. When he yielded that life to thee and called thee Lord and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We come this morning, Lord, and say the same thing. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Show us thy plan and will for our lives and help us to make the decision. Arise, make haste, go quickly and do what the Lord would have us do. We seek thy blessing on these remarks this morning. In the precious name of our Lord, Jesus.